Svamādhyā-purushā-sākṣāt
Iśvara-prakṛte-parahā
Māyāṁ bhūdhasya-chit-śaktyā
Kaivalya-sthita-ātmani These are the description that the Lord's eyes have been described here as lotus eyes. And remembering Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and not just at times of danger. There's a tendency is in conditioned state that when there's danger, then I declare myself dependent. That, oh Lord, okay, if you get me out of this one, I'll be good from now on. And then as soon as the danger is gone and the material intoxication, because material life is an intoxicated state, actually, for the soul, he's mesmerized. This word mesmerized, it means to be, you know, it's like sometimes you see a moth, you know, gets mesmerized by fire or something like that, and it's flying around and around. It sees the flame and thinks it's just fully entranced by it. And can't give it up, even though flying into it is very dangerous for the moth. So we're mesmerized by the material energy. And therefore, we're in a sort of intoxicated state. And only in times of danger, practically, do we awaken to this fact that we're dependent on the Lord, because we realize at any time whatever facility we have for so-called enjoyment through the senses in this body can be taken away. And when that comes, then we tend to declare our dependence and ask for the Lord's help. As been said in this class several times, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, at the point when the greatest danger comes and one's surrounded and you have to give up. It's like this surrender process is not for, like, you know, when the guy robs the bank and then he's running away and they're chasing him and there's a high-speed chase and then he's down the freeway and over the embankment and then gets out of his car and runs and runs and runs and finally, you know, they finally catch him and he gets on the ground and puts his hands out. Not like that, but voluntarily. One should surrender because this is the process. So how to surrender to Krishna is the actual goal. And to know why Krishna came to this material world and why he comes here, this also is the process by which one can become liberated. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojuna. One time, Prabhupada asked a group of devotees why it was that Krishna came to the material world, and some said that he came to kill demons, and others said that he came, you know, for his pastimes. And then one devotee raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, he comes to please his devotees. And that's been said here in this purport. And Prabhupada said, yes, you know the purpose why Krishna came here. And he said, therefore you are liberated, because you know the purpose why Krishna came to this material world. So studying the Krishna conscious science and the pastimes of Krishna, it can also become mesmerizing. Tannama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami kalam nayad akilam ityupadesha saram. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that one should spend one's full time, 24 hours a day, in hearing about the name, fame, form, pastimes of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya gave special emphasis on hearing the name of the Lord. He says, Shri Radhika Madhava Yora Para Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Nam Nam Guna Rupa Nam Nam. If you get the name, then within the name, Lord Chaitanya said, the Guna and the Rupa and the Lila, everything else is there. And it's like nowadays, just like if you get somebody's social security number, you can track them down and assume their identity practically. You got to be very careful. You know, the name goes out and electronically it's all over the place. But that's the thing you ask, did you get the name? Did you get their name? Oh, good, we'll track them down. and we'll find out everything about them. We'll find out where they live. We'll find out what they eat. They do that nowadays. Google keeps a track of every search you make, and they make a profile. It's kept forever in your records. And now even the government can look it up. If they're prosecuting a case, they can go in your file and see, you know, how many, what kind of searches did this person go? Oh, they were searching for rope and duct tape 2 weeks before the murder. In any case, the fact of the matter is, when we have Krishna's name, then we can access Krishna. Goloka namni nijadamni talita tasya. Even though he's in Goloka, in this highest place, that by the chanting of the name and by taking shelter of the name, then we can actually access and understand and come to know Krishna. He'll reveal himself. Atapite deva padambujai dvaya prasada leshanu grihita eva hi janati tatvam bhagavanna himno nachanyam ekam picharam nachinvan. Even if someone studies very hard or endeavors in meditation or is an expert in following the rules and regulations of the Varnashram system, one can't know Krishna and can't even come close to understanding what is Krishna. But atapite deva padam bhujatvaya. Lord Brahma said this after he was soundly defeated by Krishna. He tried to steal his calves and boys, and then Krishna exhibited his great power and remanifested the boys and calves. And then when Brahma later discovered that they were actually Vishnu expansions, and he saw that the whole universe was circumambulating the Lord, and that everything was emanating from him, he fell down at his lotus feet with his helmets. All his helmets, you know, touched the ground before the Lord. And so we need this leshanu grihita evahiv. It's prashada lesha, which means just a trace, even a trace of the mercy of the Lord. By that alone, then one can realize Krishna. And so we get that by following the footsteps of pure devotees and taking shelter of the association of devotees specifically. And when Prabhupada came here to America, he gave his association to many, many people and elevated them just by his association, practically. Even there was a Rath Yatra ceremony, a Rath Yatra festival in San Francisco back in 1970. And the devotees, just on the order of Srila Prabhupada, not knowing exactly what Rath Yatra was, put together a Rath Yatra cart. In fact, Vanamali's uncle was the one who designed it. This is Vanamali, for those of you who don't know. Her uncle is the one who designed that Rath Yatra cart and built it. Her father was also there at the time. And other devotees, Shyamasundar Prabhu, who visited here previously, they were all, you know, her uncle, Narayan Prabhu, was the mastermind behind the whole thing, putting the whole thing together. And yeah, the crank was a story that, you know, previous Rath Yatras, they had come to these tunnels along the route and they couldn't put the top down, so it created a huge problem, and I think they had to, you know, take the top down permanently and things, so they needed to crank it down. So in Los Angeles, Prabhupada kept asking, you know, how are they going to solve this problem? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there with Prabhupada at the time and said, don't worry, Narayan's got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said, are you sure? And he kept saying, yes, Prabhupada, Narayan can do anything. And he's like, because he's a genius, and this and that, and he probably kept asking. So finally, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he called up to ask, and he asked Narayan, have you figured it out? And he said, well, no, we haven't. And so Prabhupada said, from then on, no one should assume any position by themselves. They should always do by committee, so that there's checks and balances. And that's how we should conduct our business. You know, we shouldn't assume that one person's got it all figured out. Oh, yeah, they have the book table. And then you show up, and it's not there. But in any case, when they built that Rath Yatra cart, then finally he figured out. It was a process. He kept thinking about it and experimenting, and finally Krishna gave the intelligence, this telescoping top to the Rath Yatra cart. And when it would come to the bridges or the low wires, then they could just crank it down. And all the police and everyone who had seen the year before were all standing there, and they didn't know what was going to happen. They were going, oh, here it goes again. The whole thing's going to stop. And then the thing cranked down. They went, what? So they got all the way down to what used to be called, there was a huge concert hall down on, which on now Ocean Beach. And there was a concert hall there that all the hippies used to go to hear the all the bands of the day, the Jefferson Airplane and Moby Grape and the Grateful Dead. It was called the Family Dog. And that's where thousands of young people would go and take LSD and listen to music and all this kind of stuff. So now about 10,000 hippies came and followed the Rathiatra cart, and they met down there and they came to the Family Dog. And everyone came. It's described how when the Goswamis were preaching, they were appreciated by the gentle and by the ruffians. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, by his potency, he came and the gentle and the ruffians, both they followed Prabhupada and were mesmerized by him because he was a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. So when he came to the Family Dog, even the Hell's Angels came. You know the Hell's Angels? It's a motorcycle group, and they pride themselves on riding big motorcycles that make huge loud noises, and of being ruffians and gangsters and dealing drugs, and they wear an emblem on the back of their jacket that says Hell's Angels, and they beat people up, and you know they're real toughs. So anyway, the Hell's Angels, they followed the Rathiatra too, and they came there to the Family Dog. And then when Prabhupada got there, everyone was waiting for Prabhupada, and as soon as Prabhupada walked in the Family Dog, everyone bowed down, because all the devotees bowed down, so all the other hippies bowed down, and then the Hell's Angels bowed down too, because they just got caught up in the whole thing. And when they bowed down, someone was describing actually how they were wearing all these, you know, clubs and chains and everything that they carry around. Those hit the ground also, and it sounded like the helmets of Lord Brahma as he was bowing down before Krishna as well. So this is the process for going back to Godhead is by mercy. Atapi te deva padam bhuja dvaya. By the two lotus feet of the Lord, if you get lesha anugrihita, prashada lesha, means lesha means just a trace, a whiff of this mercy, then you can become, you can know everything about Krishna. He can reveal himself. And so the process of doing that is to please the devotees of the Lord. And specifically, we come into the association of devotees of the Lord who are coming through the authorized disciplic succession, who are following the great acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. And in that association, we can hear and serve. And by that, we will get that lesha, a prashada lesha, that mercy, because devotees are very much disposed on giving out mercy. That's their main object in life. And so Krishna comes here to please the devotees, and the devotees are interested in distributing Krishna. And by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, then we'll very soon be fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasini yoja tishtan vajay tananuragi jananugani kalam nayed akilam ityupadesha sadam. That's a gradual progression will be there. We'll make advancement. And we'll find ourselves fully dependent on the Lord at every second, which is the ideal situation in life. It's actually true anyway. This idea of independence, or the idea that we have some other shelter besides Krishna, is just illusion. When you take it away in times of danger, you can see, oh yes, there's nothing else. There was nothing actually holding me up. My bank balance wasn't actually holding me. And the mind thinks, oh, my bank balance is there, that will save me. Or my family's there, they'll save me. Or something's there to save me. But nothing's there to save you but Krishna. So to take full shelter of Krishna and surrender is the sum and substance of the message of the Bhagavatam, and we can do that at the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? We covered a lot of territory today, but this pastime is nice to be heard more in larger chunks, I thought, so we did that. Everyone's ready for 2007? It's a good idea at the end of the year to take stock of what you've done in 2007, because or 2006, Write down your accomplishments, the things, especially you've made gains in your devotional practice, and things that you've done. You know, you've started a preaching program, your Smart Box program. You've increased your rounds. Whatever you've done, you know, take stock of it near the end of the year. It's a good demarcation time to look and see what you've done. It's very encouraging. Things move so fast in this day and age that it's easy to make some big accomplishment and then just move on to the next one. And then after a while, you forget what you've done. But we need to be encouraged by what we've done. Started a tape ministry. You've started the ISV media. So much has gone into that. You know, write all those things down. Take stock of what you've done. And then make goals for the new year. And look ahead. So look where we've made advances in our last year. And now look ahead to see what we can do in the next year, because making goals. You'll notice if you look in Prabhupada's little cabinet in Vrindavan, he has a little tablet there, a little book, and you can see written down his goals. So he's always thinking ahead how to expand Krishna consciousness. I saw him that one of those things was to meet Indira Gandhi or something like that. He had all these things. Prabhupada was always thinking ahead. So to think big, and but at the same time make incremental goals, you know, for the new year. It's a good thing to do at the end of this year. Does anybody here do that? You write down your goals, New Year's resolutions, huh?
I will now.
Anybody do that practice? You've heard of New Year's resolutions, right? A lot of people write down resolutions. Oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to quit smoking. You know, do these types of things. But we should do those, and for our devotional practice. Think of exciting things that you can do, little things. Think of ways in which that you can, increase your service or increase your usefulness to others, how you can work on yourself more. Even if you do a little bit at a time, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Just a little advancement in incremental ways every day, it's very powerful. Do you do that, Ananda? Write down your goals? Anybody? Mataji does it, yeah.
I do, but every time I review them, I haven't gotten to a lot of
them. One thing I've started writing down as my top goal every year is to keep my goals visible. Because one of the things that you can do is you can write down everything, which is good, but then at the end of the year, you'll pull it out again and go, oh, yeah, right. I was going to do a lot of stuff. But it's very helpful if you write these things down and then put them in a place. Like one thing I do is I make a copy of my goals, and then I put them in a plastic sheet, you know, like one of these plastic sheets, and then I keep it with me. And it's like the first thing I do in the morning before I start my job and everything, I just run down couple sheets of what my idea and goals are, and it keeps it fresh in your mind, because where attention goes, energy flows, you know. And if our attention is just on to the next emergency all the time, then what you get is one emergency after another. But if you specifically design your life so you think of what's my next goal, how am I going to improve my devotional service this year, how am I going to increase my preaching, how am I going to, you know, stay healthier this year. You know, all these things are important to live a, you know, an exciting, complete life. So, get a notebook. I recommend on your way home today. Stop and pick yourself up a little book. You don't have to get a whole book, but it's nice to have a book. You can get a tablet at Office Depot for $2 or something like that. And then start your goal book and write down your 2007. 2007 goals, and you think of any category you want, anything you want. You can write it down and start thinking of these things. Do you keep some goals, Malati, written on somewhere?
My goals for 2007?
Yeah. Anything?
Yeah.
You have some goals written? Okay, Malini's writing her goals down. So everyone, you should take a little time, you know, to reflect. First of all, like I said, think about all the good things that you've done. Like, let's name a few things just now. I'll show you how nice this is. Let's name a few things that we've done in 2006 that were advancement for our team, for our group here at ISV. Think of what have we done? What advances have we made in 2006? Malini's smiling. What was that?
1,000 Bhagavad Gita.
We did that. We reached that goal. We'd never done that before, right? 1,000 Bhagavad Gitas and 1,000 other books in one weekend. That was big.
Thousand.
Okay. Molly, what do you have?
Okay.
What's that? We made new devotees? Who was our new devotees?
Haribo!
That was a grand slam there. Ramaswamy. Haribo! Hare Krishna Prashant. And many new devotees came.
Well, I think we have set some examples in other states.
Uh-huh.
Distribution marathon and Sankirtan.
Yeah, by the system. Like Tushta, when he came here, he said he really liked the system, and also some other temples have taken it up, like Houston.
So
our very own Adi Guru Prabhu has gone off and started a program in Houston, similar. Nice. And what else?
Smart boxes.
The smart boxes, which is will definitely create a revolution in the book distribution. How many smart boxes do we have out now? 15 smart boxes out. That was a huge thing. It took a lot of work and concentrated energy to get that all going, right? Anything else?
60 for book distribution.
60 people. We reached the 60-person mark. 60 people out on Sankirtan in one weekend. We started chanting the Nam Ashtakam. We added that on.
All these Bhagavatam verses
are new that we started in 2006, and that's just become like a regular part of our program.
Did we start the Hari Nams in Palo Alto? Was that in 05 or 06?
I think it was 05, right? 05. April
05. What were the ISV Media?
ISV Media. A whole brand new program that Milan Doshi, Ramaswamy, Bhakti George collaborated on, but it was Milan's idea from the beginning, and he thought it up. They put thousands of dollars into equipment. They've spent hundreds, if not thousands, of hours tweaking the equipment and, you know, figuring out the whole program of how to, you know, get the whole thing going, and it's a huge advance. Just in 1 year, we've done that. What else? Yes.
Since Akula Prabhu brought back about, we did a lot of Bhagavatam verses today, and I was just wondering that Krishna initially said that you should get his head, Ashwatthama, but eventually, of course, his head was not taken. Whereas, because at the Bhagavad Gita, we see that all the Dronacharya and everyone else, Arjuna didn't want to kill them in the first place also, but because of Krishna's injunction, he did. So what is the difference? Is it because this would be more like a personal vendetta because he had killed them?
The difference was that Draupadi asked that he not be killed, and that Krishna said that he should be killed, and he had to satisfy both of them. He can't not satisfy his wife, and he can't not satisfy Krishna either. And so he had to decide how to do both. And this is a very important pastime, and I'm glad you brought it up, because when we're doing our service, we have to think in subtle ways. In other words, first class service means to figure out, because we're serving our guru, right? And we're serving the devotees. So the way that we do the service is very important. First class service means to be very observant and to figure out what kind of service our guru wants, and then do it before the guru asks. That's first class. Second class is the guru asks and then you do it. And third class is the guru asks and then you fail and you don't do it. So in this circumstance, Krishna had asked that, he said, well, you have to kill him. You said you were, and that's the, according to Dharma Shastra, you should kill him. And Draupadi said, no, I changed my mind. I don't want him killed, because even though he's not qualified, still he's the son of Dronacharya, and she had some sentiment, natural sentiment as a woman, that he shouldn't be killed. So then Arjuna understood, and then Krishna said, okay, Arjuna, you have to figure it out now. Both sides are there, it's up to you. And he tested him. So in a split second, Arjuna figured it out, what Krishna wanted, to do both. Because killing Ashwatthama by cutting off his hair and the jewel in his hair was actually, in one sense, it was worse than killing him. And in another sense, he saved his life So he did both to balance it out. So we sometimes will have to make these kinds of decisions, because sometimes somebody says one thing and somebody says another thing, and then you have to figure out, what do I do now? And you have to cut down the middle and figure out how to satisfy both people but attain the objective. It's a good point. I've thought about it myself, and there's nothing specifically mentioned here. Prabhupada doesn't mention. Maybe someone else knows from more detailed study of the Mahabharata. But apparently, as you say, he had some kind of appreciation. Do you know Srivas Pandit? That why Duryodhan, even though he was at the very beginning wanted to kill the Pandavas by burning them and poisoning them and everything like that, at the end he was dissatisfied with Ashwatthama for killing the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas. Okay. We'll look into the subtleties of that. So anyway, we've made great advances in the last year. Think about it and think what you've done in your personal life and your practice. And every little bit of... And every time it seemed like, you know, we pushed past the what we thought we could do. And once we did, then it opened up new avenues and it opened up, you know, new possibilities. Didn't it seem like that? Like we could do more?
He had a new place with whatever limited resources. It's very difficult to manage a temple. Financial constraints. We had a new extension.
That's that place. The middle place we got in 2006, didn't we? Is that right?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Yeah. And now that's another big thing. It's being fixed up now. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but it's being fully finished in there so that the kids can have a multimedia million-dollar center for, you know, learning and advancement and so on. And also the seeds of our new school advancement and education for kids has a... The seeds are there, and that's how everything goes. Even our Sankirtan party, for a long time, it started as seeds. You know, we're like, we want to do it, and getting the whole train going in the right direction, it takes a while. It takes a lot of meetings, talking, you know, but the seeds, once they're there, and you keep watering them, something, some kind of water, then gradually it'll grow up, right? We're talking about reviewing the year and thinking of all the progress that we've made, different ways. Finally got a sign. That's big too, a neon sign. You can't miss that. Hare Krishna Temple. That was big.
We did that Ranganiketan concert.
Yes, the Ranganiketan concert was a big success. It was very nice. We raised quite a bit of Lakshmi for our new temple fund, sitting there waiting, and we're growing it until we can, within striking distance of actually buying a place that we can put a lot of sweat equity into and really develop and have pride of ownership for their lordships. So that was progress.
That should be a goal of the next year. We have to move out of here in 2008, probably.
Yeah.
So.
And hopefully not sooner.
And hopefully not sooner. Yeah, right. We started in 05, in January of 05, so we had a two-year lease with a one-year extension.
Yeah.
So we're going to exercise the extension, and then that'll be it. They could let us have a new lease. But we have to get a use permit from the city, was he was referring to, if not sooner. Now we have to get a use permit from the city.
They came by and saw the sign, right?
No, it wasn't the
Hare
sign.
Hare Krishna Temple. So please write your goals down, because it's not really a goal until you write it down. But make some, sit down for a while, take a long walk, talk to your spouse, talk to your friends, you know, and think about, you know, what ways you can make advancement. Make some vows of how you speak in the next year. There's austerities of speech. How are you going to talk? Make a vow that you'll speak things that are generous speech towards others and glorify devotees. And that as soon as you start to vilify a devotee, that you'll change it midstream, and you'll start going, yeah, but he has nice kids, you know. He loves prasadam. And yeah, these are things that you can actually make life exciting. How are you going to speak, and how are you going to chant your japa? Do you have some goal for how you're going to increase the quality of your japa? that you'll actually meditate on the holy name when you're chanting, that you'll hear the name, you know, say at least one round a day with full concentration, and then that might lead to something else, even tiny little things like that. I've always wanted to chant my one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. 2007, you've got the chance to go undefeated the whole year. The whole year of 2007, you can say, okay, I'm not going to miss a day on a Bhagavatam or one shloka or something like that, or keep it, you know, simple. But every little, what's some other goals you can make? Yes. Which books are you going to read? You can take advantage of Sri Vaspanat Prabhu's unique system, be a sage page by page, and figure out how many pages of the Nectar Devotion you have to read this year to read the whole thing. Probably only two pages, one page a day to finish the whole Nectar Devotion in a year. That's a good goal to make. Which books you're going to read? Yes. Join the Vaishnava Academy of Kirtan. And that's one other thing we did this year. And to learn how to play Madunga, learn how to play harmonium, kartals, and then start learning how to sing kirtan and so on and so forth. That's a good goal.
This year I went on a pilgrimage to Mayapur for the festival, and it could be a goal to go to the Holy Dham.
Yes. Make a goal and start putting away your... We have...
Bhaktivedanta Thakur was saying, I'm going to go to all the places where my Lord Gaurasundar is gone and stuff like that.
Start your IRF now, India Relief Fund. A little envelope, you can put away a little something so you can go away for your pilgrimage in Kartik or whatever time you want to go to the Holy Dham. Yeah.
The number of smart boxes.
Number of smart boxes, yeah, definitely. And we should think for our Harinam party, new places, how to increase the party.
Oh, I was just thinking that we could, this may be offline, but we can split the party.
That's a great idea. I have a list of some suggested new places where we can do Harinams, and we're looking into that, and I thought about that also, maybe split the party, and put kirtan leaders on one side and the other side, get new speakers, and, you know, have two parties going out, and maybe have a goal to have 3-4 parties going out at the same time. Good ideas. Yes. Yes, Farsi books. How many Farsi books will do in 2007? How many Chinese books? So on and so forth.
Another one could be to expand the languages in which we can get books.
Definitely. We've learned a little Chinese. I think we made inroads. That was another thing. We made inroads into learning how to distribute in Chinese, although I feel like we only dipped our toe there, and a little bit in Farsi, but we can revisit that and make our language program or foreign language program more robust and comprehensive so that everyone can learn and learn some new languages.
We can memorize verses.
Memorize verses for sure.
Goals to even memorize chapters.
Make a goal to memorize a chapter. Malini Srivats are closing in on the Queen Kunti verses. And, pick some chapters that are dear to your heart that attract you and, you know, make a goal. That'll become your chapter this year. Anyway, there's unlimited things in life, as Prabhupada was saying in the first purport that we read today about how the Lord's energies are variegated. And in devotional service, all our activities are exciting and variegated in His service. So there are many, millions, unlimited things that you can do in His service. So use this time of year to reflect and then to think forward how you're going to increase and write it down. You have to write it down. So everyone next week, come with your notebook. And if you have some exciting goals, they're all exciting, to write down some things, even if they're small, big, for your own personal practice, and then brainstorm some things of how we're going to increase overall. But make sure you have your little book to get your goal book today. That's homework. Stop at Office Depot or wherever you like, your favorite. There's a under a dollar store down here. I'm sure they have notebooks. You can get a notebook for under a dollar. And then keep that as your goal book and write down your 2007 goals for this year. Jot them down, get them in paper. And then it's going from subtle to gross. Because subtle, it's here, and then gross, you wrote it on the paper. And from there, you'll see it'll manifest more and more. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.